Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be with you on this snowy day. Sometimes I choose to represent Advent in my clothing, and today I decided to represent the Wolverines. Go Blue! That's exciting. I needed some good news. Hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving. Hope you enjoyed a Michigan win. My name is Dan Morgan. I'm Director of Community Life here. So glad to be worshiping with you this morning. We have quite a few announcements because we're doing lots of important work together, and so I want to draw your attention to those ministries of hospitality. Our outreach board has a goal of hospitality, responding with Christ's warmth and grace to all who enter the building, and we're doing that in a serious way this coming month. And so I want to draw your attention to the rotating shelter. That's our overnight shelter. It starts tomorrow. We are set until next weekend. We still need two overnight hosts on Saturday night and one overnight host to join Emmanuel and me on Sunday night of next weekend. So would you think about that? We'll connect you with people who have done it before if you're nervous about it. Kevin is your person to connect with to get signed up. We'd love to have you help us make it through the week of offering hospitality in the evenings here. Also, we are continuing with our High Cone collection. That's for families who are served through Community Action Network. High Cone will be giving our gifts to families who need extra resource during the winter break from Ann Arbor Public Schools. So would you please give generously to that? You'll see the information. Sue Ellen is organizing that. You can give a financial contribution or items that are on the list. You'll find information about that in your bulletin. You may have seen another way we are doing our best to offer hospitality, doing our best to love our neighbors as ourselves. And that is the throne outside in the parking lot. The throne is a porta potty that has been around the city, and we have been in communication with the throne company and the city about how to have accessible, available bathrooms. And so we connected with them, asked if we might be considered as a host spot for that, knowing that we and the Methodists invite folks to spend the night on our property and that we are going to be busy in December and then again in February and March hosting folks. And so you'll see there's a throne at the end of our parking lot. The city is pitching in to cover lost rent from Air Garage, and so we're feeling like it's a win-win all around. And so when you see that, know that good hospitality is happening here at First Baptist. You can access those bathrooms with your smartphone if you have one, or a tap card. If you need tap cards, would you let me know? I have some. If you ever are connected with somebody who needs access to a bathroom and doesn't have a phone, make sure they connect with us because we can help get them set. So hospitality, an important part of the work we do here as we enter into the season of Advent. We celebrate Advent tonight, kicking it off this morning in worship, and then this evening we'll have a gathering that helps us get ready to offer hospitality during the daytime warming center. We hope that you will join us. If you haven't RSVP'd, still come. We ordered extra, so there's plenty of food to eat. Come join us as we get ready to offer hospitality. We'll be creating decorations. We'll be baking muffins. We'll be making cookies. We'll be wrapping Christmas gifts. Come join us. Also, we have the Ad Libitum concert and a bake sale coming up on the 8th. Carolyn has been in touch with some of you. If you haven't gotten an email from her, if you like to bake, go ahead and do some baking. You can connect with Carolyn here, and there's an announcement in the bulletin, too. You don't need to price your baked goods. Just bring them. Carolyn will take care of the pricing. All right. And lastly, I want to draw your attention to our stewardship team decided to put a card in your bulletin today that doesn't have numbers. We celebrate the fact that that number is constantly changing. So if you would find your card in your bulletin that has the pie chart, We knew that if we did it before we all went on Thanksgiving break, that the numbers would be old. And so we wanted to give you an up-to-date. We wanted to give you an update on those numbers. And so we left it blank. And we're going to let you go ahead and fill them in. So you might find a pen in your pew, or maybe you grabbed a pencil as you walked in. Here are the numbers. Are you ready? We're going to start on the left side of your note card. The pledged amount. The big piece of the pie. It's $392,964. I'll say it again. $392,964. 392,964. That's 72% of our pledge goal. So what we need left, to meet our pledge goal, the money needed is $150,742. That goes in the needed to fill our pie chart all the way. And then if we move to the right, first of all, I want to say that 72%. I said that, I think. The next pie chart represents the number of pledges received. So the big part of your pie chart in that section, pledges received, is 60. We've received 60 of those pledges. To match what we had last year, we would need 22 more. So 60 pledges received, 22 yet to be received is our goal. So we are at 73% of pledges received. You'll find on the back of that sheet next steps, what you can expect from the stewardship team, from the budget committee. So if you have any questions about that, you can see someone on the stewardship team, which some of us are here today. Robbie is here today. I am here. Theodora is here. Tony is here. Yeah, so if you have questions about stewardship, come check in with us. As you get your pledges in, we're able to meet the goal you all invited us to meet, which is to get you a budget sooner than later before our annual meeting early next year. All right. Those are all the announcements. Good things happening, good hospitality being offered, good worship and Advent experiences, and we're showing up with the resources to make it all happen. So thank you. And now to Rick.
And I'm here. Well, you could ask me, too, if I'm meeting with this. I'm meeting with the stewardship team. I'm Rick Mixon, the interim minister here at First Baptist Church, and delighted to be with you in the sanctuary and online this morning. My greetings to Zan. And all of that crush of announcements, I think the bake sale and the Ad Libitum concert got mushed. So the Ad Libitum concert is Friday at noon, Christmas stories from around the world, and the bake sale is next Sunday after church, right? So some wonderful activities going on. And I just wanted to say before I sit down, thank you to all the people who decorated the church. It's so beautiful. Last Sunday, there was a whole bunch of people in the sanctuary decorating the church, and it seemed like a really joyful occasion. So I appreciate the fact that you find joy in doing these wonderful things in service of this congregation.
Please join us now in the responsive call to worship.
To you, O love, we lift up our souls. O heart within our hearts, in you we place our trust.
Let us not feel unworthy. Let not fear rule over us.
Yes.
Compel us to know your ways, O love. Instruct us upon your paths.
Lead us in your truth and teach us. For through you will we know wholeness.
We shall reflect your light both night and day.
We know of your mercy, compassionate one, and of your steadfast love. You have been with us from the beginning.
Forgive the many times we have walked away from you, choosing to walk alone.
With your steadfast love, once again, command us to walk with your faith.
You are gracious and just, O Spirit of Truth, happy to guide those who miss their way.
You enjoy teaching all who are open, all who choose to live in truth.
Your path.
Please rise as you're able for our opening prayer. Loving God, we're making our way together on the road to Bethlehem, on our journey of expectation for your coming. Knowing that you, O God, are entering the world, re-entering the world and our lives. May you catch us off guard. May you surprise us. May you challenge us. Loving God, guide our hearts and our lives in the fullness of your hope. Keep us on the journey. In this season of Advent, help us to remember our faith, remember our commitments to you, remember our covenant to one another, to love our neighbors, especially the ones who are made to feel like strangers or to live as refugees. Help us to love especially those neighbors as ourselves. Amen.
Thank you.
The Gospel of John speaks of Christ as the true light coming into the world. In commemoration of that coming, we light candles for the 4 weeks leading to Christmas and reflect on the coming of Christ. It is significant that the Church has always used that language, the coming of Christ, because it speaks to a deep truth. Christ is coming. Christ is always coming, always entering a troubled world, a wounded heart. And so we light the first candle, the candle of hope, and dare to express our longing for peace, for healing, and for the well-being of all creation.
Loving God, as we enter this Advent season, we open all the dark places in our lives and memories to the healing light of Christ. Show us the creative power of hope. Prepare our hearts to be transformed that we may walk in the light of Christ.
Changes in our space? What do you notice is different in this? Oh, the candles. There's candles down the aisles and all the way up the stairs.
And that, decorations.
And there are other decorations. What decorations do you see?
The Christmas trees.
Oh, hey, Calvin just said he has some decorations at his house. I wonder if others of you have decorations at your house, too. Yeah.
I have my Christmas.
Uh-huh. Some of us have our decorations already. Some of us are going to do that later.
Today's the first day to open the Advent calendar.
Yeah.
And the first day of December.
Oh. I love it. So you all are preparing, just like many prepared this space, this home, to be ready for the mystery of Christmas. You are preparing at your house too, Calvin. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, Dinosaur of the Park. Yes, so you have stars at your homes. You might have Christmas trees. You might choose to do candles. We'll have an Advent wreath spot at our Advent event tonight, so you can have an Advent wreath at your house if you'd like. Yeah, all kinds of things we do to get our home feeling ready. And this is our church home, and we get our homes ready at our houses, too. For us to get ready to celebrate the birthday of Jesus. Do you remember what we call this season? What do we call this season of getting ready for Christmas? Who remembers what that's called?
Advent.
Advent. That's what we're in. And today, We think about getting our space ready. Do you see the beautiful stars and hearts that Miss Shanae put up? Those feel like home to me when those go up. And I was also thinking some words in a prayer we prayed at the beginning also feels like home. It's calling God our heart within our heart. Our heart within our heart is a way to describe God, because also we're getting our bodies ready too. Our bodies, our minds, our hearts, our spirits. And God feels like home too. So, when you keep noticing the changes in the space, or when you notice the changes in the space at your house as we get ready for something mysterious and something special, I hope it feels like home to you. And remember that one of our names for God is our heart within our hearts. So being with God feels like home too, as we get ready for God to come as a baby. So, would you put your hands over your heart? Oh, God, thanks for feeling like home. Would you put your arms out like this? God, thanks for this church family that feels like home. Can you make your house or a roof? God, we hope that everybody has a warm place to be. Help us be part of making home for others. Amen. All right, let's head to church school together.
Lord God, creator of all, in your wisdom, you have bound us together so that we must depend on others for the food we eat, the resources we use, the gifts of your creation that bring life, health, and joy. Creator God, we give thanks for all that is. Holy be the hands that sew our clothes so that we do not have to go naked. Sacred be the hands that build our homes so that we do not have to be cold. Blessed be the hands that work the land so that we do not have to go hungry. Creator God, we give you thanks. Holy be the feet of all who labor so that we might have rest. Sacred be the feet of all who run swiftly to stand with the oppressed. Blessed be the feet of all whose bodies are too broken or weary to stand. Creator God, we give you thanks. Holy be the sound of children laughing to take away our sorrow. Sacred be the sound of water falling to take away our thirst. Blessed be the sound of your people singing to heal our troubled hearts. Creator God, we give you thanks. Holy be the bodies of those who know hunger. Sacred be the bodies of those who are broken. Blessed be the bodies of those who suffer. In your mercy and grace, soften our callous hearts and fill us with gratitude for all the gifts you have given us. In your love, break down the walls that separate us and guide us along your path of peace that we might humbly worship you in spirit and in truth. On this day, we lift our prayers for those whose concerns lie on our hearts. We pray that you would be with us in this time of worship. We pray especially for Bob Reynolds, for Rob Snyder, for Roberta House, for Mervyn Eucart, for Esther Floyd, for Betty Gerstler, for Marilyn Marsh, for Bill Nummy, for Helga Mortensen, for John Milburn, for Greg Dubois, for Cindy Okarski, for Keith Maurer, for Beth Granberry, for Grange Burnside, for John Rowe, for Faye Key, for Kathy Sage. God, we don't know, all of us, who these names represent, and yet we know they are your children, and they are precious to those who have put their names on this list. And we know that there are other concerns that we hold deep in our hearts that we have not shared, and we bring them to you as well this day, with requests for your healing, for your comfort, for your sustenance, and for your joy. We come in hope this day. Friends, know that in the midst of all that is going on in our lives, God is forever fulfilling promises, loving us unconditionally, and leading us into a new day. Thanks be to God. And now we pray together the prayer Jesus taught his first disciples, saying, Our Mother, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. In the book of the prophet Jeremiah, amidst his weeping and wailing, his ranting and his raving, there are three chapters that are often called the books of the chapters of consolation. And from those, we read these words. The days are surely coming, says the Holy One, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Holy One is our righteousness. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Says, one of these days, I will fulfill my promise. May it not be long, O God. We pray, gracious God, that your days of justice and goodness may come now among us. As we prepare to celebrate the birth of the Christ in our world and in our lives, may we find new ways to embody the words and work of Jesus, that we might do our part to bring about your promises to all people. The world awaits us, full of need and full of hope, if we can become living hope to one another. One of these days, God says, one of these days, I will fulfill my promise. May it not be long, O God. Amen. A number of years ago, I proposed Love Came Down as a theme for Advent, based on Christina Rossetti's beautiful poem of the same name. Our associate minister, Gregory, raised the question as to whether or not this theme was too tied to the archaic notion of a three-storied universe. I don't see the universe in those terms myself, but his question did cause me to pause and ponder. Much of our literature and imagery reflects heaven above, hell below, and earth caught somewhere in the middle. We don't give much attention anymore to hell, that underworld burning with fire and brimstone, But heaven, as the place God dwells, is still generally aspired to as someplace beautiful, above and beyond. I think we're still more drawn to images of the vast and unimaginable expanse of space than we are to those of molten mass at the center of the earth. However, I don't believe we have to posit a literal three-story universe to believe that there is life, that there are qualities, that there is a spirit beyond what we know well. There is mystery, maybe even a little magic, in creation that is beyond our grasp. It's not that we have no access to the mystery, that we are never drawn to the magic, that we are never touched by the holy, but there is a sense that some things, someone, some presence comes to us from beyond ourselves. We are challenged, and when open, changed in encounter with the sacred other. This conversation with Gregory led to a rather playful collection of themes or titles for the sermons of that Advent, and I thought I might reprise them in concert with this year's lectionary cycle, since it's the same. Hope bubbles up, peace blows in, joy bursts forth, love comes down. Hope, peace, joy, love, Christ, word, light. Each of these meaningful metaphors of the season in some sense comes to us from somewhere else. From above, below, afar, near at hand. They come to us in ways familiar and totally unexpected. Perhaps this is central to the wonder of the season. The notion that hope bubbles up comes partly from wondering whether all the wonders of the season do need to come from above. If not, what would be the opposite of above? Below? I began to imagine what grows and blossoms from the soil. Flora of every sort, even those that push their way through the frozen ground of bleak midwinter, or a shoot breaking forth from the stump, thought long dead. Dust to dust, we are told. So the blind hymn writer sings, I lay in dust, life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red, life that shall endless be. Then there are powerful images of volcanic activity, which also reminded me of Old Faithful and the geothermal power of geysers bubbling up from below. You get the drift. There's a very real sense in which hope is born deep inside us and bubbles up to the surface. As did the psalmist, we live with longing for something more in our lives. Lead me in your truth, the psalmist writes, and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Whatever we have acquired or become, it is never quite sufficient. Echoing the psalmist, Augustine also expressed this longing when he wrote, You have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Something in the depths of our being remembers and longs for the fullness of the creation we were made to be. This longing is never real, never more real than in this season of Advent. When we wonder, we watch, we wait in anticipation again for the coming of the Christ, the Word made flesh, the Holy One in human form, who comes to redeem the whole creation. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We live with a longing that the source of our being will come close to us from above or beyond or deep within and touch us in ways that will cleanse us, heal us, and make us whole. There is hope that we may still be all that we were created to be by the Creator of the stars of night, the giver of life, the lover of our souls. Is this not that very Holy One to whom the psalmist lifts their soul, the source of truth, of righteousness, of goodness, of mercy, of steadfast love, of salvation? Is this not the God in whom we too hold our hope? Come, O long-expected Jesus, born to set your people free. From our sins and fears, release us, Christ in whom our rest shall be. Friends, we live in a time of fear. Fear that threatens to lead to despair. Despair, the antithesis of hope. Oh, how fear can control our lives and cause us to turn from this God of justice and compassion to false gods of self-serving security. Let's build our walls higher and thicker. Surely that will be our salvation. Keep the strangers away. Arm the population. Lay up for yourselves all the earthly treasure you can get your hands on. Remember who's number one. That will undoubtedly ensure our safety. But Jeremiah, speaking for God, doesn't see it that way. We find him under a kind of house arrest. The leaders of his people have been dragged off into Babylonian exile, and the destruction of Jerusalem looms large on the horizon. Barb Haugerud writes, "The Babylonian army has devastated Jerusalem. Some of the people have been deported to Babylon, while others are occupied citizens in their own land." Jeremiah writes to people, she says, living in this turmoil and chaos, people living in the tension between what is and what will be, people who are waiting in the darkness of not knowing what will come next. He assures them that even amid their adversity, there is anticipation and expectancy. He speaks God's word of hope, of redemption, of healing, of restoration. This troublesome prophet, who has been so harsh in his judgment while still weeping bitter tears, tears for his people, suddenly proclaims this remarkable word of hope. From the bottom of the barrel and the depths of his being, he asserts that the days are surely coming when God's promises will be fulfilled and justice and righteousness will rule the land. Has the prophet lost his grip on reality? Has the strain of the work overcome him? Have his own words of gloom and doom done him in finally? From somewhere else come these eloquent, noble words, an amazing confession of trust in the God who holds both the future and the prophet. Jeremiah has been safely centered in God all along. In an even more remarkable witness, Jeremiah does not proclaim, not just proclaim words of hope, he applies them in direct action, and he lives them. While his way of life is crumbling all around him, his own prospects of exile growing daily, the Babylonians gobbling up the land and destroying its ancient sacred structures, Jeremiah elects to buy a piece of property. Yes, you heard that right. Jeremiah elects to buy a piece of property amidst all of the craziness. This gloomy, weeping prophet of destruction, in obedience to God's instruction, chooses to invest in a future that he believes is inevitable. In the end, if this great prophet sees anything at all of the future, he sees who holds the future and puts his faith in that very one. Just when you think he's going to give up in despair, he expresses his hope by putting his money where his mouth is. Seeing that hope grows from the ground up, Bruce Epperly writes in our text, Jeremiah speaks words of hope. A branch full of blossoms and eventually fruit is bursting forth from an arid and broken nation. Life abounds beneath the current uncertainties. Life is emerging quietly like the fig tree's growth, and we can open our eyes to the deep down hopefulness of life or live in despair. There is a future, he writes. God has a vision for you, for good, not evil, for a future and hope. This future is not predestined or automatic, but the invitation to become the future that we dream about, incrementally embracing life's fruitfulness and tending to growing things all around us. Is there anything we can learn from the psalmist's affirmation of, and Jeremiah's living into, hope? Will we allow ourselves to become victims of the fear growing all around us? Or will we say no to liars and demagogues, to terrorists and fearmongers of every stripe? And yes to the hope that bubbles up within as God again comes to us to redeem us? Do we sense that life still abounds beneath our own current threats and uncertainties? That there is a future, that God has a vision even for us? Can we yet become that future, the future that we dream about, incrementally embracing life's fruitfulness and tending to the growing things all around us? Put yourself in Jeremiah's place or in the place of the psalmist. What fuels your fears? What feeds your anxiety? What might lead you to despair? Among friends and in the community that cares about you, let yourself consider these things in the safety of this place and this time. These things help to make up what Carl Jung calls our shadow. Those qualities that also linger deep inside and can be highly destructive if left unattended. We need to look closely and try to understand, but we are not to dwell there. It is important to know what threatens and frightens us, what stirs our anxieties and fuels our fears. As a paradoxical expression of grace, today's words of preparation suggest that the power of hope is made more palpable by the fragile circumstances of everyday life. A cancer diagnosis, the loss of job and income, a fight with friends or family, the rejection from a college, a divorce, the death of a loved one. Is this not essentially what's happening to Jeremiah when he finds hope bubbling up in the worst of circumstances? Even in the deepest darkness, the light shines and cannot be overcome. Finally, these words of preparation also remind us that often hope comes in small doses and flickering images. Signs that are fleeting and brief and usually seem insignificant. Advent is a season in which we can cultivate a posture of waiting and watching with hope. It is hope that anchors us. It nourishes us. It sustains us. It keeps our eyes up. So friends, where do you take heart? Where does hope bubble up in you? From the ground of your own being, what glimmers and glows even in the darkness that you might hang your future on? Perhaps you would be willing to share your own word of hope on this first Sunday of Advent. Have a word of hope? Share it with the people around you if you have a word of hope that you might be willing to share. I'll ask you to shout it out. Where's your hope? What is your hope? It's my longing in this Advent season that we will find hope born deep inside of each of us. Hope that bubbles up to bring about the future that God imagined for us as individuals and for you all as a congregation and for all of the creation from the beginning of time. May hope anchor us, nourish us, sustain us, and keep our eyes looking up or down or wherever we find hope bubbling today. Amen. In this season of Advent, our minds frequently turn to gifts. What might I receive for Christmas? What can I give to this person or that person? Should I give more or less? All this is in response to something God did long ago, when God sent Jesus into our world and into our lives. God said, "I love you all so much, I am coming to be among you." It is in response to this amazing gift from God that we give now.
Sing of joy, song of love, in songs to cheer, and we will. We shall.
offer these gifts to you, O God, in the hope that they might help make your promises come true. We offer our whole selves as well, dedicated to doing our part to help bring your will into reality in our world. As we give these gifts, we recommit ourselves to exploring ways that we can live the love and justice of Christ's coming every day throughout the year, and not just in this season. Amen. Be seated. Come, O Word, with your ambiguity of time before us and after us.
Come with the slipstream hope.
Come with the breath of peace.
Come to the times of our waiting.
Come, O Word, to the emergency room today.
Come to the job interview.
To the canceled flight.
And the restaurant table, with two menus and only one chair filled.
Come to the hospice bed and all who sit around it.
To the inbox of a high school senior hoping for early decision.
To the courtroom before the jury returns.
To the swelling under the heart of those in their third trimester.
To the phone watching of those whose medical tests are being read.
To the car door listening late at night of those who expect a dear one to return home.
Come, O Word, to our beginnings and to our endings, and breathe a sweet blessing on all the hard pauses life gives along the way.
Come, O Word, to this, your table of welcome, as we share this sacred meal in honor and memory of your becoming flesh, living among us, full of grace and truth, bringing to the darkness light that cannot be overcome.
Friends, this is Christ's table. Come now, let us share the feast.
We read that Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread and broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Friends, this is the bread of life for you and me and all the world.
bread of love.
In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim Christ's death until he comes."
This is the cup of salvation for you and for me and for all the world.
The cup filled with love. Let us pray. Bless this, the bread of life. Bless this, the cup of salvation. Bless this, your welcome table. Bless us, your people, O God. Let this sacred meal nourish us, body and soul, so that we might live our lives in holy communion with you, and in blessed community with one another and with all creation. Amen. Before we sing our communion song, I want to remind you that we have a special communion offering we're taking this month. It's our retired ministers and missionaries offering that we take every December. It supports an emergency fund that's administered by our pension board, American Baptist Pension Board. I can testify to its wonder as a longtime beneficiary. My father died early, so I invite you to give generously. There are plates at all the entry that you can put your offerings in for the retired ministers and missionary offering. And now in hope, may the peace of Christ be with you and also with you. Go with hope into this day, this week, this season of anticipation. Do not let yourselves be so caught up in the busyness and craziness of this time that you lose sight of the simple truth. God loved the world so much, God sent Jesus to be our friend, our companion, and indeed our Savior. May you experience the wonder and joy of Christ's presence with you each and every day. Amen.